Hey, you, is your league rocking that same tired fantasy trophy they gave out to millennials like Grandma's Butterscotch? Trophy Smack destroys the competition! Finally, there is a unique and customizable fantasy sports trophy to represent your hard-earned victory. With Trophy Smack Swap Tops, you have the ability to change the trophy top every year. The league winner keeps their topper and plaque to remind them of what it takes to be number one. We also sell rings, championship belts, and gift cards. Still not sold on Trophy Smack? Take a real customer's word for it.
It's clearly the best trophy on the planet. I bought the Trump Topper and wow, doesn't that topper look like a winner?
Oh, I almost forgot. Last year in my fantasy league with UPS, I won a bet for free lifetime shipping. So, you're welcome for that. Take your fantasy smack talk to the next level. Visit TrophySmack.com to buy your trophy today.
What's up, and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in-season or off-season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour podcast. I am your host, Tim Keller. Doug Eddy's out this week, so it is just Tyler and I, so... Tyler, how you doing this weekend? How has fantasy treated you? Obviously, living in Minnesota and being an Atlanta fan, it can't be that good in real life football. So talk about fantasy. How's fantasy treating you?
Fantasy's good. I think I have the reason why Minnesota didn't show up to play. There's two things. Either they waited for, like, they're looking forward to next week. They play the Rams on Thursday. That could be huge. Or if you saw on Twitter, the Buffalo Bills GIF, where they actually had the plane flying to southern Wisconsin. Maybe Minnesota just didn't realize they were actually going to show up. Because on that Twitter post, the Bills said they are going to Minnesota 900-some miles, and they had the plane landing in southern Wisconsin.
Maybe the Bills are just out here playing mental warfare games, and they got the Vikings a little shook. I honestly think the first part of it is exactly where it is. The Vikings just, they weren't respecting the Bills coming in. They're more focused on this upcoming Thursday's game, and it showed on the field. They were flat when they came out. The Bills jumped all over them, and this is what
Josh Allen. Credit where credit's due.
Yeah, Josh Allen.
The man jumped over Anthony Barr.
He did.
That is nuts. Oh, man. And it was a very sad game to watch. They didn't even have McCoy. And honestly, I think a big part of it is we all saw last week Sean McDermott. He took control of the playbook at halftime last week. And that defense played light years better because he is a very smart defensive-minded coach. And he game-planned this week. And that defense looks legit. Like, they look good. With Edmonds in the middle, he was everywhere. Milano was just everywhere. They've got a good linebacking core, and they've got old man Kyle Williams just still doing his thing in the middle. And yeah, it was tough to watch, but biggest thing I got out of that game, I know we're kind of going off, but biggest thing I got out of that game was Delvin Cook makes a huge difference for that offense.
He definitely does. He definitely does. And you kind of mentioned that we're kind of going off, so I'm going to try to steer us back. So we want to thank our sponsors, obviously TrophySmack.com, SquadQL. We'll get into a little bit, both of them a little bit later. But we like to start off each show talking about a little bit of college. Tyler and I, we were both a little busy this weekend. You know, we try to devote as much possible time as we can to Sundays. And then if we can sneak some in on Saturdays, we have wives still at this moment. We both still have a wife.
If we watch somehow, more college, I don't think we would.
Somehow we're holding on. We're holding on to relationships. So we try to sneak as much college in as we can. Sadly, I was on the road all day, so I had no chance of it. But we wanted to talk about some college quarterbacks. So Tyler, who are some of your favorite guys in the college ranks right now at the quarterback position? They don't necessarily have to be coming out next year, but maybe within the next 2 to 3 year window.
Yeah, the first quarterback I really want to talk about is Murray from Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And he just looks like a stud. I know we had Baker coming from that. And Kyler Murray is just a guy that is just putting up huge, huge numbers this year. He's very small. He's 5'11", which is freaking small. That's smaller than Baker. Baker was what, 6'1"?
Yeah.
Once it was all said and done. But Kyler Murray, you know, is it the offense? That's all people are saying is, hey, it's the offense. There's no way this guy can make it into the NFL. But I mean, he is just. It could be Brown, the wide receiver, Hollywood. We talked about him not too long ago. He is just a playmaker. But Murray could be in this Russell Wilson mold. I mean, he is just showing up. He's a baseball guy. He actually got drafted by a team to play baseball, which sounds a lot familiar, like Russell Wilson. It's looking in the mirror kind of type thing with the two. I have yet to see him be the emotional leader like Russell Wilson is, you know, the intangibles. I've yet to see that, and I think as the season progresses, maybe that will show up, which is huge for Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson is a guy that doesn't let himself get down. Despite the team crashing all around him, he's a man that doesn't care, just wants to do his thing, and he does. So Kyler Murray could be a guy that really jumps up the draft boards if he keeps playing like this. We all saw Baker Mayfield come out of nowhere and become the first overall pick. We all saw him this week. And I don't know if you're a big fan of him, but Justin Herbert is a guy that is just a big, tall man, and he's accurate. He's got a good arm. I don't think it's great.
Is that the quarterback at Oregon?
Yes. He's got some athleticism to him, but I feel like he is the safe prospect. He is the guy that is accurate, but I don't think anything's really going to jump off the page with him. And he was the consensus first quarterback, according to Matt Miller, coming into this year. I don't know where he's at now. I think the guy from Auburn has kind of jumped above them all. Stidham.
Yeah. Yep.
Because he's got that Josh Allen-like arm, just a rocket. And, you know, coaches love that. And we all saw Josh Allen succeed today. So where are you at on this whole quarterback process? We got Will Greer, who you and I both like.
Yeah, I love Will Greer.
He's so hot and cold. That's my issue with Will Greer.
Yeah, I think if Will Greer could find a little more consistency to his game, he would no doubt not scare me at all to put him as my QB1 in this class. I also had Stidham on my list. Stidham is he's a very, very, he's got plenty of tools, and his biggest tool is that cannon attached to his shoulder, obviously. And Auburn puts together a very good system, and they're playing extremely tough defenses at that. So watching him succeed at this level gives you a lot of high hope as he enters this this NFL process. Another guy I wanted to bring up also has a very strong arm. It looks like he makes smart decisions there on the field. He doesn't create a ton of turnovers. Ryan Finley for NC State, very good quarterback there.
Very, very tall, but he's skinny. He needs to get some muscle on those bones.
Yeah, if we were doing something preseason, I probably would put Trace McSorley from Penn State on the list.
I love him.
He seems to have that moxie about him. He's got a little bit of that Baker to him, minus the crotch grabbing. He's got that emotional, like, okay, we're down. I'm going to go get us this game somehow.
He's a DGAF guy.
Yeah.
Full throttle at Penn State. I mean, eyes that closed, dude does not care.
Turn your hand, just whip that ball. And then Drew Locke out of Missouri. Are all quarterbacks I like at the college level right now. They're guys I try to keep an eye on. Obviously,
Locke's got the arm. He's cannon. He's a lot like Blake Bortles to me. Very, very inconsistent with his placement.
Yes, that's awesome. Yes, that's perfect.
But
actually,
man, he's got a cannon like Bortles did, but super inconsistent with accuracy.
Doesn't UCF have another quarterback this year?
It's like Milton or. He was.
I'll have to look that one up. I thought UCF had a guy that's getting a little pub.
The national champions.
Yeah, they got themselves rings. I like that. I like that. Yeah, that's good. I'll have to look that one up. Maybe I can highlight him in one of the upcoming episodes. But yeah, I heard his name, and I heard UCF, and you know, good old Bortles brings that back for me. But
oh yeah.
So So those are just some of the quarterbacks we're interested in. Hopefully, like I said, we just get to watch a little bit more of these guys and we can kind of highlight them in some upcoming shows. But you talked about national champions and they got themselves championship rings. Where else can you get yourself a championship ring, Tyler?
Well, I can tell you this much. You can go get yourself a free championship ring, a free $60 championship ring, choice of two different styles at TrophySmack.com by using code DHHRING. Man, my trophy is coming in Tuesday for sure in my house on Tuesday. They had a little back order because of the weather, the whole hurricane thing. Mm-hmm. Darn hurricane. It's like, come on, stop ruining this.
Yeah, knock it off, Florence.
Yeah. It sounds like a silly TV show with the Lawrence guys just like screaming from downstairs, Mom!
Knock it off, Florence.
But this trophy is going to be sitting somewhere in my house. My team is 3-0, and I told my wife, I'm like, God, I can't wait for this thing to be staying at home. And she's like, yeah, it's going to be under the bed. I'm like, how dare you talk bad about this trophy when it's not even here? And I'm looking forward to placing this trophy in the house when company comes. These trophies are beautiful. You can go customize your trophy many different ways, different color schemes, height, different toppers, and you can exchange those toppers every year because the champion can keep that topper. You can go purchase a new one and put it right on top. But you don't need to do that year one because you can go get yourself that championship ring, DHH ring, at TrophySmack.com. Once again, TrophySmack.com, DHH ring for your free $60 ring.
And that's a great thing about Trophy Smack is my big league has been in existence for 16 years now. And there's this trophy that gets passed.
Jesus, from you were 32 when that started.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Yeah, 32. By the gray hair and the beard, yeah, you would think so. But no, I was a little bit younger than that. But the trophy gets passed from champion to champion each year. And it stinks. I mean, it doesn't matter if you've won the title four or five times. You don't have a piece of that trophy. I can talk about it when people come over, but I have nothing to show them. With the Trophy Smack trophies, you get those toppers. You get to keep them. You put them up somewhere. And I just be like, yeah, that was 2009. That was 2011. Yeah, I'll never repeat it in the league, but got a couple championships there.
And when you get that ring, they've got cases for you. They've got a sweet artificial turf case where you can set the ring on fake turf. It is awesome. And those cases are cheap as well. And that money that you save on not getting the ring, go get yourself a custom case. Set it right next to your computer, your office, your work office.
Nice.
So people are like, oh, damn, this guy, he must be important. He's got a big ring with a case on his desk. And even when they come in, like, oh, it's fantasy football. But, man, that league
that's
is
still
legit.
Pretty neat.
That league is legit because you got that ring sitting right on your desk.
Speaking of legit, and I'm sorry it took us this long to get here, but the Cleveland stinking Browns have won a game. Their quarterback is legit. Baker Mayfield, after Tyrod Taylor, goes to the ground and bangs his head a little bit. That kind of worked out pretty well, I think, for the Browns.
Yep.
Tyrod kind of bumping his head. It gave Hugh that free pass, essentially. But Baker,
I don't think
in.
Hugh would have made the switch. I don't think he would have unless
so?
Something
I mean,
happened.
You had to. If they had come back from the second half without Baker in, I don't think that stadium lets him leave.
No.
That's crazy. That stadium
Dorsey,
was cheering.
Dorsey would have had his head.
Yeah. I mean, the stadium was cheering for Baker before Tyrod was injured. So it felt like this tidal wave just kept building and building and building. And sadly, it took an injury. But Baker did get on the field. And when he did, he was electric. You saw the teammates respond. You saw that defense respond. The other team responded.
Those tight window throws.
Yeah, he was throwing into windows. He was throwing bullets. He was moving around in the pocket. I mean, and this is without practicing with the first team all week.
So this is why I said go by Jarvis Landry all year. I get the Josh Gordon hype, but we knew Baker was coming in, and Baker in the middle of the field is so accurate, and he showed it. You could be covered, and Baker is going to fit it into a window somehow. Jarvis is going to get targeted a ton now, and I want to mention, in a home league where we have salary contracts, Baker was a second round pick, which is $6 for a quarterback, which is cheap out of 300. Yeah. I have Russ Wilson and I have Trubisky, who I don't trust as my backup. No. I needed another future quarterback. I traded a first in 2020 and I got back 2/3 and Baker.
Oh, nice. Beautiful.
And I get it's a one quarterback league. But I feel Baker could be a top 10 quarterback every day starter from here on out.
Like, I was going to say, you have a solidified, hands down, I can start him whenever he, you know, in Russell Wilson. He's going to get you points against whatever defense comes out against him. He's shown it throughout his career. Baker looks like he could also be one of those type of guys. He has that type of projection.
Yes.
So you have one now. You got one relatively cheaply that has the projections to be there. And Trubisky's, I still feel he's moving in that upward direction. I don't think he's got quite as high a ceiling as Baker Mayfield, though. So you get yourself three very good quarterbacks there. It's going to take a little while for Baker to develop, I think.
Yep. Trubisky's got that look to him, like he's not trusting himself.
Yeah. Yep.
I watched a little bit of the game today, and every deep pass he threw, it was a little over him, but he's almost trying to be too safe.
Yeah. He's trying to get too cute, too accurate type of stuff.
Yep.
But it will come with congratulations to the city of Cleveland. I have not been happier for an NFL team other than the Philadelphia Eagles than I was for the Cleveland Browns on Thursday night and the Cleveland fans. That was a fantastic moment to watch. There was a couple, late. The Jets got the ball back with like 3 minutes left, and then again with like a minute 10, something like that, I want to say. And
Darnold had a bad game.
Yeah, it just wasn't meant to be for the Jets that night. And, honestly, if you were going to let me choose a team for the Jets or for the Browns to get off the schneid, I would have chose, the Steelers in week one. I thought that would have been a little more fitting, a little more, a statement type of thing. But congratulations to the Cleveland Browns. We don't have to keep talking about this portion of it now.
Just think of it like this. If Baker started week one and two,
they
could be 3-0.
If they had a kicker that was decent the first 2 weeks, they'd be 3-0.
Yeah, Tyrod was terrible week one and two. We talked about it before.
So does Baker save Hughes' job?
I don't want him to, but
I think he was on his way to being walked out the door after game three with another L, and Baker comes in and has at least for now saved his job.
Hugh Jackson seems like a guy that wants everybody to love him, but he has got to buy Baker every meal at a fancy restaurant for the next month.
Yeah. Yeah. Every W gets him like an extra, like the first one's a meal. So if they get another W, it's a meal and, a fishing trip or something.
Yep. Maybe a new headband.
A personalized one, bedazzled. It'll be very nice. It'll be real fancy. Yeah. Hugh's going to have to start reaching in his pockets a little bit more. But let's talk about some of today's games. Obviously, we talked about the New Orleans-Atlanta game. We just kind of mentioned that Atlanta lost. So I'll let you go here because a guy you have almost everywhere had so far his career game.
Kelvin Ridley. I actually bought low, and I had a huge trade. It's a super flex league. It's UDPL. Mm-hmm. It's with the Dynasty Nerd.
It's a lot of the who's who of Dynasty podcasting.
Yes. And Dynasty Rich of Dynasty Nerds, great pod, go check him out. Him and I made a trade. He wanted Mahomes, and he offered Deshaun Watson, and it was Deshaun Watson, Isaiah Crowell, and a couple other picks for Mahomes, and I wasn't interested in it. I'm like, okay, I need a little more sweetener. And then I just brought up, I'm like, hey, Kelvin Ridley. He's like, I don't need him. I'm not going to start him. I'm like, okay. Kelvin Ridley in the third round next year with Deshaun Watson for Mahomes. And it was done. He really wanted Mahomes. I needed another piece for my wide receiver depth. It helps that Tyler Boyd, which, by the way, Tyler Boyd, great game. We'll go on to him after this. But Kelvin Ridley was in the deal. And it looks like I might have done well. Like Deshaun Watson scored the same points.
I think both teams there have done very well, obviously. Yeah, Deshaun. Mahomes so far has just looked lights out. This guy's on another level right now. I think the count's at 13 now. I want to say 13 touchdowns 13, in his first three.
No
starts.
Picks. What is three games. What is he ranked as your quarterback? Mahomes, is he your number one overall quarterback in Dynasty?
I redid my rankings right before the regular season started, and I would say he's probably somewhere around. I think I still had him in the teens, but I would think that, yeah, if I went back to redo him today, he'd have to move up.
It'd be Wentz or him. It'd be close.
I think I still had Wentz. I know I still had Wentz there. But yeah, Mahomes would at least be in the top five easily, for sure.
Okay. And let's go on to Tyler Boyd. Is he a guy that you're still looking to buy, or are you avoiding now that his price is probably at like a second rounder?
No, I'm okay with buying Tyler Boyd a second rounder, because I think most people aren't quite there yet. I think they're in the,
yep.
And if they are looking for second rounders, they're not pushing for that early second round pick. So you maneuver, make some things happen. But just a few years ago, people were paying that first round price tag for Tyler Boyd. People were drafting him in the first round. He had his fall off, and now we're starting to see something happen. You know, he's doing exactly what everyone has said Devontae Parker would do for three straight years now, and it's never happened. You know,
Nelson Agholor did the same path.
He was
a guy that a lot of people took from 6
to 10.
They
were right on the precipice of like, oh, this guy's roster cuttable. I don't even need him. He's roster fat. I'm going to trim him right off my rosters. And sadly, in quite a few leagues, I saw Agholor, I saw Tyler Boyd's get cut. They got completely cut off of rosters. Yep. And then somebody's like, well, I'll go scoop him up, just see what happens. And these guys get steals because of this sort of thing. But yeah, Tyler Boyd is worth the buy right now. This is three straight weeks where he's been productive.
Yep. Could be a good flex play.
Yeah. And that's what you need. Anything else that New Orleans Atlanta game you want to talk about? I mean, this is three straight weeks we have an overtime game, a lot of offense.
I want to talk about, we talked a little bit off air about this, and I actually changed my rankings right when we were talking.
Okay.
Alvin Kamara and Christian McCaffrey in PPR rankings. They are top four running backs for me, hands down. My running backs in PPR will go Todd Gurley, Alvin Kamara, Saquon Barkley, and Christian McCaffrey. They are a different animal in PPR, and like we were talking, their floor is around 20 points. Because like Kamara, a bad game for him has been like 20 plus points. That's been a bad week. I mean, he had how many catches today? 15, 12 or 15 over 100?
Yeah.
Like he's getting wide receiver numbers. He's not rushing as much. And when Ingram comes back, I think it will actually help him on the rushing side. I can't believe how almost cheat code it is to have McCaffrey and Kamara.
Where do you sit on Melvin Gordon? Because he seems to be a lost name in this.
I just think his rushing inconsistency hurts him so much.
I think he's a much more complete back than Christian McCaffrey.
Well, McCaffrey had 20 plus rushes today for 186 yards.
In this one game.
This one game. Agreed.
I think overall, I think Melvin Gordon is a more complete back than Christian McCaffrey. I won't argue that for Kamara, although I do think it's closer than most people would just right off the top of their head say. But Melvin Gordon is just that guy because he's in that same class with Todd Gurley, same draft class anyways, that the difference between those two, Melvin Gordon I don't think will ever get the respect that he deserves. Plus he's got a guy like Austin Ekeler on his roster who is very capable and gets a very good workload himself and produces as well. So it makes it look like maybe it's not just Melvin Gordon, maybe it's just the system. And I'm willing to say that Melvin Gordon does have a piece of that. It is partially him.
Yep. Austin Ekeler, everybody meet the new Danny Woodhead.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Speaking of, since we're talking about running backs, and this is a guy people have been very high on lately, Philip Lindsay. He gets himself ejected from a game for punching a player. I happen to just be watching as that happened. That wasn't the prettiest of moments there in the Ravens/Broncos game.
But
you got any takeaways from this game at all?
I didn't really see much about this game, but Demaryius Thomas, it sucks.
He caught five balls a day.
Yeah,
he caught all his passes, all his targets.
He looks old.
Yeah.
Like, and if he doesn't start doing the Larry Fitzgerald thing where he is strictly in the slot, I think he's going to hurt from it because I don't think he's as quick-footed as he used to be. I think Sutton is outplaying him in just a quickness and speed-wise.
I agree. Yeah.
I think next year Thomas is going to move on. Maybe they trade him if they aren't having the best of season. And he goes to a team that, you know, might put him in the slot. Yeah, I don't know. I just fear that the sell window is too late. And I don't think he's ever going to be as high as he used to be. And speaking of trades, do you want to talk about how Le'Veon Bell is officially on the block?
Yes. Yeah, the Steelers have said they are going to listen to offers for Le'Veon Bell. Let's say you're a GM for a running back needy team, and you hear this news. Let's say you're, I don't know, let's say you're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Okay, don't you dare.
They're pretty running back needy. Just the first
we
one
don't know yet. We don't know yet.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, I forgot. Yeah, Rojo's your guy. So let's say the Indianapolis Colts. All right.
Okay.
They're kind of running back needy. What are you looking to give up?
If I am the Colts, I don't think I'd give up a first, but I think a second and like a fifth, and you get back a fourth in Le'Veon Bell. That seems like a legit trade. And it's only because you're going to have to pay him. Like right when he gets in, you're going to have to structure a contract. I don't know if they're already past that. I don't think they can.
I think you hit the nail right on the head there. If you are going to trade for Le'Veon Bell, you have to be willing to pony up some cash to sign him to do exactly what the Steelers are not willing to do right now. Otherwise, you're going to have the exact same issue on your hands that the Steelers are having on their hands. So, yep.
And the thing with the Colts is, are they going to do that? Because they did that with Trent Richardson. Yeah. They traded their first-round pick.
They could be a little gun-shy now.
Yes. And with Tampa Bay, I got quote tweeted on Twitter saying, hey, what does this sound? Because it's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers rumor. If Rojo was in the deal and they sent Rojo to Pittsburgh, love it. Send Rojo to a system that would actually be able to use his freaking explosiveness with Connor. Can you imagine that duo? Like Connor with Rojo.
You have a speed guy and a kind of, I mean, Connor has played so well.
Yes.
So far, I think he's a very multifaceted running back. He's caught out of the backfield. He's ran well between the tackles. He's ran well to the outside. He showed good burst and speed. He's got wiggle. I think the kid can do a lot of things better than a lot of people thought he could. Plus, he's just a great feel-good story. But, yeah, then you put a guy like Rojo there who can – he doesn't have to be the passing downs back because the big guy can catch.
Yep.
He can just go out there and be that burner, be that Tevin Coleman minus the catching part. And just try to break off these long, some long plays. So other teams, I just looking at teams, not looking at rosters, but may need running back help. Jets, Bills, that there'd be a tandem. The Bell and McCoy, they'd probably try to ship McCoy out somewhere.
Yeah.
There's
not much. There's really not much.
I was gonna say Baltimore, but they got too many like meh
and
guys.
Their cap space is. They don't have too much cap.
Seattle,
no. If they got Le'Veon Bell, Seattle would burn down. You take a first round draft pick. You don't play him. Chris Carson got like 30 carries this week, and you drafted a guy in the first round. Seattle, you guys had the quote unquote manager of the year. How many years ago, or the GM of the year? What's up now? Like, he's drafting a position that you guys needed? No, he's not even playing.
That pick, I mean, I like Penny. I like Penny a lot, but I remember that night and that pick coming across, and I'm like, wait, what? Wow. That surprised me.
Yeah.
But let's talk a little bit more about today's games. We had the Kansas City-San Francisco game. That game ended looking a lot closer than it really was. And in this game, we lost... a pretty prominent player. Jimmy G, it is feared that it looks like an ACL and potentially the MCL.
His beautiful knee.
Yeah, his beautiful knee attached to his beautiful thigh, attached to his beautiful
hips.
I mean, you can go whichever direction you want to go from there, but it's all pretty. But yeah, sadly, it looks like Jimmy G may have torn some ligaments in his knee. They're going to have the MRI tomorrow to confirm or deny, but the medical staff have kind of let the coaching staff know that that's what they strongly believe is the issue there. So,
CJ Beathard.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking about him again before the podcast. You were a guy that was beating that drum for Beathard last offseason, and it looks like he might be getting some more starts here in San Francisco.
Yeah. I mean, he's been sitting on the sideline watching the game. He came in as a rookie and did quite well.
Yeah.
I think he was competent. Now with a little time under his belt and able to watch Jimmy G run the offense and learn more, I think he's going to come in and be a good starting quarterback for fantasy. In Superflex leagues, I hung on to him because I thought he could be a guy a la Kirk Cousins that could go to a different team in 3 years and be a starting quarterback. I think he's got that talent. So if he is on your waiver wire and you're in Superflex, go out and get this guy because he's going to be able to produce. And if he does well, the team can trade him after this year. Like,
He could Jimmy G himself into a starting role somewhere.
Yes, correct. And he's got good arm talent. A lot of people comped him to Kirk Cousins. A lot of people. They said he had good arm strength, good accuracy. He wasn't great at anything, but he has athleticism. He can run with the ball if he needed to. He could do everything well. And Kirk Cousins, yeah, he grew his arm strength. His arm strength was okay, but he got more arm strength as the time went by. Now, Kirk Cousins is known as a good deep ball thrower. He can zing it in there. And Beathard is a guy that kind of people project that style, a guy that can grow as he learns more in each year. So I really like him. I think I'd give up a third rounder for him in Superflex leagues just because you're going to get the weekly production this year. And then next year, you just really hope he gets traded. And then he's worth a huge amount.
For this game, obviously, we mentioned Mahomes. I know the 3 passing touchdowns. Conley, 2 weeks in a row, scores.
I'm going to let this go. I was watching it with my buddies, and I saw Conley score a touchdown, and I laughed. And they go, what's up? And I'm like, this is going to be a fun night on the podcast because this is Tim's
dude. 2 weeks in a row.
And he scored 2 weeks in a row. Tim is just going to be full of
it. No, here, actually, my other dude, if you need 9 yards, if it's 3rd and 9 and you need a first down, give it to Matt Breida. He ran 10 times for 90 yards. It's a 9-yard average. He caught the ball 3 times for 27 yards. It's a 9-yard average. You need 9 yards. Matt Breida's your dude.
Is he still the leading rusher in the NFL?
I don't,
or is it McCaffrey now?
I'd have to do some math as of right now, but I know he was coming into the week. I think that 90-yard total is probably going to knock him down to second. But like I said, this game looks a lot closer than it was because Kansas City, again, jumped out on the Niners here, and it really took him out of the run game. It made him into that passing offense. But it was a fun game, the parts of it that I got to see.
We saw Rosen.
Yeah. We got to see Rosen in the Cardinals game. There's some work that needs to be done.
Yes, he is a guy that sees the field well. From what I was watching, he can see the field well.
Sadly, that was the Chicago defensive line bearing down on him quickly.
He's also got a good connection with Christian Kirk. I know Fitzgerald was hobbled and didn't really play as much, but him and Kirk have a really solid connection to where Kirk is going to get a ton of play now. I mean, that he's going to be on the field a lot. Rosen's going to look his way. He's going to be a safety. He knows him. I think it's going to hurt Fitzgerald, too.
Yeah, Cook, Kirk more than doubled the field there. He had 8. He had 8 targets in this game. The next closest was Ricky Seals-Jones at 3.
Yeah, he had 7 for 90, which was a pretty good PPR day.
Yeah, so obviously Kirk's going to be the guy leading the way there for him.
DJ got a touchdown.
yes, he did get that passing game touchdown, which is nice to see. It was salvageable.
They're using Chase Edmonds too much.
Yeah.
Like McCoy, I don't know if he's got a crush on Chase Edmonds, but you've got an all-star running back. I mean, this guy is all world, and you're subbing him out constantly. I don't get it. Like
for a smaller version of himself, a smaller, lighter version.
Everybody hates Hugh Jackson. Mike McCoy has been a guy that I have absolutely hated year to year.
See, here's the thing with Hugh Jackson is Hugh, when he was in Oakland as a head coach, did surprisingly well. I think that was like the first time in forever they had made the playoffs that year Hugh was there, and then they surprisingly fired him. So people kind of had this little warm spot in their heart for Hugh now. And it took him a couple years in Cleveland, and then, oh, it's just the woeful Browns. But now they're like, this guy's holding this team back at this point. They see all this talent on this roster, and they still can't get wins. So now it's like, oh, okay, Hugh, you're not what we thought you were. But McCoy has been at multiple stops now and has just upset fan base after fan base.
Yep.
And he just doesn't seem to change his ways.
His offense is vanilla ice cream with less vanilla. Worse than vanilla. It's just ice chips.
Like, it'd be like getting a vanilla snowball and they forget to put the vanilla syrup in. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to look like ice either way. Just but when you take a spoonful with the vanilla syrup in it, you're going to taste the vanilla. So you just take a spoonful of ice and be like, this is terrible.
Yeah, he's not good. I don't know why he got the job, because they have a defensive coach. They needed a very smart offensive mind, and that is not McCoy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and maybe we'll see that another couple years down the line. Maybe a guy like LaFleur will be up for head coaching spot. But speaking of Matt LaFleur,
yeah,
that Jacksonville Titans at 9-6.
I'm worried about Mariota. Like, there's a part of me that's like, is this dude just going to have elbow issues? Like, this elbow issue scares me. Is he going to have an issue to where it's like, I can't throw the ball anymore, I'm done? Like, he's got nerve issues. He can't grip the ball.
Yeah, they were saying still 2 weeks later that he still was having trouble feeling some of his fingers. But
yeah,
I understand this is a divisional game. A lot of these teams play each other closely. But I was
Vrabel's just loving this. Vrabel's just sitting there hard on the sidelines. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Defenses.
He had to come out with a second pair of pants on in the second half. Like, I thought in my head, I'm thinking the Jacksonville defense is going to do their part in the first half, which is going to lead to the Jacksonville offense having very good field position. It'll put them guys in scoring position. I know I started Bortles in some leagues after his first 2 weeks. Keelan Cole, I thought, was set up to have a decent day.
He didn't have too bad of a day.
It wasn't too bad, but it wasn't the day I was expecting. But this game, this 9-6 just wasn't what I was expecting. And don't get me wrong, I love defense. I love defensive football. I think it is where this game came from. I love to see that. But it just caught me off guard. It wasn't what I was prepared for.
Jacksonville needs Leonard Fournette back as soon as possible. And when Fournette comes back, I think the offense will move a lot better. Play action will be a lot better. I don't think people are scared of T.J. Yeldon or Corey Grant as much as we may like to think they would be. Fournette is a different monster. And I do think that they felt they could win the game without Fournette, and they want to make sure he doesn't miss any more games later on in the year. Yep. I mean, they're a playoff team. They're making the playoffs. They're probably winning the division. Yeah. They're going to go deep in the playoffs. They need Fournette healthy, and that is huge for them. I get them sitting him, and I think Fournette could have beasted today if he was in. I'm pretty sure he was probably like 90% healthy, and they're like, okay, we're going to get you really healthy.
We're going
to
eat 99 before we even throw you back out there. But you brought up Corey Grant. I want to go to another Grant, Jakeem Grant with the Dolphins. 2 touchdowns a day. He's been okay so far this year. Do you have any love for Jakeem Grant?
I do, because I think Tannehill is playing well. Like, I think Tannehill is the poor man's Derek Carr.
And he somehow beat Derek Carr today.
Yeah. Tannehill in college was a super athletic kid that had arm talent. He was a guy that was very accurate, and he had some work, but he was a smart quarterback. He played receiver. And then, of course, they had that rushing ability because he played receiver. He had a couple knee problems. And now I think he's learning to play within the pocket. Because before, I felt like he was more like, okay, I need to get out of the pocket. I need to run. With those knee problems, I think he's learned to stay in the pocket. That offensive line has kind of been cemented as not like the best, but they're good. And yeah. they've shown that. I think the fact that they have gotten Jarvis out of the way helps Tannehill a ton. I know it sucked, but Tannehill looked for him every time.
Because of Jarvis's skill set, it was hindering Tannehill's ability to grow as a quarterback because he knew if he looked real quick to the outside and he didn't see just a guy completely standing just wide open, completely blown coverage, he could just, Tannehill's going to be coming across the middle here. I can throw it to him. He's going to come down with the ball. And so Tannehill wasn't focused on trying to work the entire field. And he wasn't growing. He was stunting his growth almost.
And I like what we see. I think we finally have seen Tannehill get Adam Gase's system.
Yeah.
I liked Gase. I thought he was a very smart coach. And I thought he was getting a very hard time for everything that happened. I just think maybe Tannehill finally got the playbook and Gase and him are finally just connected and they're on the same level. The weapons, they're not pretty, but we like the weapons. Like Jakeem Grant, like you mentioned, very fast
Kenny
guy.
Stills.
He's like, Grant is a poor man's Tyreek Hill. He's a guy that's super fast, super electric, but he's smaller.
Yeah.
But he's got good skill set. He can jump and go get it. He can do things that you don't think he could do. Albert Wilson is a guy that I really like, a guy that I think can fill in for Jarvis very well.
He was
there.
Underused in Kansas City there. Yep.
Yeah, he threw a touchdown too. He could also play quarterback.
52 yard. He went 1-for-1 for 52 yards and a touchdown a day. So he was the best quarterback on Miami.
Kenny Stills, like you said, very ultra-talented guy that played for New Orleans and somehow left New Orleans. Like, he had a 900-yard rookie
away.
Year.
Yep, he snuck away. I'm trying to think here. I wanted to hit on the Green Bay game real quick just because, in honor of Doug, him not being here, as Aaron Jones' first day back, he only got to rush the ball 6 times, but he ran it for 42 yards, which is over a 7-yard per carry average. So
He'll get more play. Easily.
Oh, yeah, he definitely will. But I think that Aaron Jones right away came in, and he looked like the best running back out of the backfield there. He also caught one pass there for the Green Bay Packers as they lose to the Redskins. AP had a day against his former NFC North foes.
So that's my thinking, is if he plays somebody that he's got beef with, start him. Because the week he went off, he played against Arizona.
Now it's Green Bay. So now he's going to have something to prove to the Vikings, the Bears, maybe the Lions. The Lions were never really an issue for him.
Yeah. I mean,
the Saints, if they somehow come across the Saints at all this year, if they would make the playoffs and see the Saints.
Yeah. The Chargers was one of his best games of his career. Yeah. I mean, he could go off against the Chargers. Yeah. He's a guy that you're going to really want to pick the spots, though, because you could get hurt by starting him, or he could win you your week by starting him. So he's still a guy I'm looking to ship off while the plate's hot.
Well, I got some questions about to jump back over the Miami game. Jordy Nelson had a pretty decent day, and Cooper did not. So what are you doing with those two guys?
I have been selling Cooper, getting rid of him. This is why. The moment you trust him again, it's back to what you have. Yeah.
See, I look at this for Jordy as if I have Jordy on any rosters, which I currently don't, but if I did, I would use this right now as my opportunity. So I would be out there on my trade bait right now, putting Jordy up there. Hey, just wanting to see what you guys will offer me. And the best offer I get in the next 24 to 36 hours is the one I'm going to take. And I'm just going to ride off into the sunset with it.
Yep. He could be a guy that gets more targets, more play.
But for his 2 years missed?
Yeah, for his, if you're 3-0 and he could be a pivotal player on your team, I would have a harder time shipping him off. But I feel like that if you've got Jordy, you've got more receiving depth if you're 3-0. So yeah, you're right. With next year's class, maybe get like a second, a team that's kind of 1-2, 2-1, kind of on the fringe. Like, hey, I'm a receiver away from being good. Okay, well, give me your second and maybe a player that you like. Like Tyler Boyd, he was a guy last year that I was kind of adding the trades. Mm-hmm. A player like that, a player that's not really showing up that you still have faith in.
Yeah.
Go out and do trades like that.
Yeah, you felt they had talent a year ago and it just didn't show up for whatever reason and you're still believing in that talent. Those are great guys to add to the back ends of rosters.
Yep. Because John Ross. He's not showing up right now.
I'm still hoping. I mean, we saw the flashes this preseason, so we know it's there. He has the ability. He's just got to get the opportunity now. What about this Giants-Houston game? I know the only thing from the Giants side, nothing really surprised me for the Giants. The only thing from the Giants side I wanted to bring up is that Evan Engram only had one target.
He got hurt. He had, I think, a concussion or ankle. Something happened. But, yeah, he got hurt. His injuries are starting to kind of creep up on him. He's a guy that feels like he's starting to get hurt a little more.
Yeah.
And
see, I actually didn't even hear that. I didn't see any of this game. So, oof.
And also, Ereck Flower did not start. Thank God. New York, one of the worst offensive linemen in the league, did not start for you. It's over. Like, I don't think he's ever starting again.
You think that's their Tyrod moment?
Dear God, I hope so, because when Barkley looked good, he got some holes to run through. He actually ran to that side without getting really a lot of pressure in the backfield. And Beckham, he's going to get his targets. Eli looked Alex Smith-ish.
And yeah.
I don't know.
Alex Smith-ish before last year's Alex Smith.
Yes, very true. And if that's what they're going to have to do, that's what they're going to have to do because they don't have anybody else behind them.
No. And I like Kyle Laletta, but I think Laletta is maybe slightly better than what we're seeing out of Eli Manning at this point. I don't think Kyle Laletta is a world beater by any means. I think he's, average and, NFL starter at best.
And with Houston, I think you still got to buy Will Fuller. I still think he could be obtainable.
He got more targets than DeAndre Hopkins today.
Yeah. Watson loves him.
He only caught 5 of them, but
he's not the only one that loves him. Yeah. I loved Will Fuller forever.
You did. He I got burned. He's been so he was much. Your boo before anybody else's.
I got burned so much by Will Fuller and everybody like, "Oh, he can't catch. Oh, he sucks." Oh, who is talking?
101 yards now. 101 yards today, touchdown.
He's a high-end wide receiver too. And I still think you can obtain him for a first round next year. Like, I'd rather have Will Fuller than any wide receiver next year. Maybe Harry if he shows out or A.J. Brown. But, man, Fuller with
I really like A.J. Brown.
Watson. Oh, that's going to be a connection that's going to be awesome for years and years.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I wanted to move on to the Chargers game, the Battle of L.A. It was a fun game. It was back and forth game. Again, not a game I got to watch a ton of. I've seen some of the highlights, though. But we got to see one of the Williams have a pretty decent day here. Did you get to watch much of the Chargers game?
I did not. I was not able to watch a lot of it, but okay. I did see the highlights of Mike Williams.
Mike Williams had two amazing catches coming from Phillip Rivers. Antonio Gates actually had a little bit of work in this game. Anywhere I'd scooped him up off waiver wires this offseason, I thought maybe this was his last hurrah. And I kind of was starting to give up on him, but he had a good game. But
put some WD-40 on that old walker of his, and he's able to move a little quicker.
But here, after week one, we saw Jared Goff miss by a matter of inches to Robert Woods, not only once, but twice. And I believe all three of us were saying, don't give up hope. It will happen. Literally, week one, it was off the fingertips both times. This week, we got the connection. Robert Woods, 10 catches, 104 yards, 2 scores to the air. So Cook, if you had Robert Woods, hopefully you didn't just give up hope like I did on Antonio Gates and you had him in your lineups, because this type of game pays off for you.
Goff is moving up for me. Yeah. And I think he's a good quarterback, and McVay puts him at elite status. Like, that's it for me. Like, he is a very good quarterback, accurate, a guy that is smart and knows the offense, but McVay just pushes him up to another level.
Early last offseason, like right after rookie drafts of not this year, but last year, I was going out and buying golf. Trubisky. Trubisky is the guy that I feel is in those shoes now. Trubisky is in that he's showing potential to me, but I need to see more growth. And if I'm willing to bet on the talent, I think Trubisky's got that kind of talent. So I've actually gone and bought Trubisky in some spots too. But yeah, if you're looking for maybe 2 years down the line, a guy that can come in and be a solidified starter for you, I think Trubisky's that type of guy, and you can still get him relatively cheap. But
I want to go to Trubisky just for a second. Nagy's offense is very complex.
Uh-huh.
It's an offense that, yeah, he can dumb down for you, but you need, like Goff, he knows that whole playbook now.
Yeah.
With Trubisky, it's going to take him time to actually get a grasp of this whole playbook and be on the same page. So, like you said, don't be scared. Go by.
Yeah. I see Mitch still making half-field reads as of right now. So that kind of tells me that either Nagy's in his ear telling him which side of the field to watch, or he doesn't have a full grasp of that playbook yet, and he knows these two receivers over here, and I know their routes. I'm not even going to bother looking over here. So that's just, it's going to take more time or more understanding, and as he shows the coach he's got that feel for it, obviously the coach will just kind of let him have a little more freedom out there. So the last one I want to talk about, Seattle, Dallas. Week one, Dallas, I thought, looked really bad. That offensive line looked really bad. Ezekiel Elliott had some troubles. The passing options, the receivers down there did not look good. Week two, right away they come out, they hit the long pass to Tavon Austin. That offense looked completely different last week to me. The line blocked much better, I thought. And just when I started to kind of think maybe the Cowboys found some sort of identity or rhythm on offense, they come out and they look a lot like week one Dallas to me.
Yep. Zeke ran awesome. One thing I like about Zeke is his attitude this year. Like, I know off the field he has issues, but he is a guy that is just a baller. He loves playing the game. I know early on in his career, people are like, oh, I don't think he's really into football. Oh, maybe, you know, he's just not into it. He's gaining weight.
Yeah.
He is all in. And he's a guy that cares a lot about his team winning, and you can tell on the field.
And you saw after he fumbled, how upset he was with himself.
Yeah. And I love seeing that. I think I'm coming around on Zeke a little bit more. His off the field stuff sucks. Yeah, he's.
Well, that's the thing is Zeke the player. I don't think nobody ever had to come around on, because everybody knew what that. I mean, he was a stud on the field. It was Zeke the human, the other half of the package that, if one half messed up, wasn't going to allow that stud to play football. So,
with Dak, I just think get him a weapon. He needs a weapon. If they drafted smart and actually, instead of that middle linebacker,
Van Der Esch,
that they took, who hardly plays because Jalen Smith is a stud.
Jalen Smith is a stud, and when Lee's healthy, Lee's studly as well. But you Lee is the reason they went and got this guy, because I
think
they think...
You could have taken Sutton. I don't get it. Like, everybody is like, Sutton can't be a one for a team right away. I think he's shown
Sutton could have been
everything.
The one for this team.
Yeah, Sutton could have been a one for this team. Yeah. He could have been that player where the defense is like, oh, crap, we need to pay attention to this dude. He's good. And I think him and Dak would have been well together. Like, Sutton's a guy that could go off screens. He can go deep. He can do everything. And
he's the kind of guy you just need to get the ball in his hands.
They need to stop drafting stupid.
Yeah, I mean... There's a lot of things
Gallup.
I think they need to.
I like Gallup, but he's not a one. He's a perfect two.
Yeah. I think he's a slightly better Terrence Williams.
I'd give him a little more credit than that. I'd say he's a slightly worse Nelson Aguilar.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine. I'll go with that. But you said the Cowboys need to get better. And I think there's always something we can all get better at. And so I want to share with you guys something that can make your fantasy teams better. And that's SquadQL. Do you want an unfair advantage to dominate your fantasy football league? Well, look no further than SquadQL, the only mobile app you need to crush your friends and rivals this year. SquadQL recommends the best starting lineups each week based on your starters, bench players and free agency pool. So you're going to ask me right now, how does SquadQL actually do this? I'll tell you, I got the answer. The app actually connects directly to your Yahoo, ESPN, and CBS sports leagues and pulls in all your critical roster information along with the scoring systems and the waiver wire information. The app also provides the waiver recommendations and player rankings each week based on your league's settings. SquadQL truly is the go-to app this fantasy football season. Head to SquadQL.com to download SquadQL, your all-in-one fantasy football secretary. SquadQL is brought to you by the creators of RotoQL. It is the leading daily fantasy lineup optimizer trusted by over 100,000 DFS players. You can download RotoQL for free on both Apple and Android, as well as SquadQL. Telling you, I am a user of this myself. For my redraft leagues, this has been an awesome, awesome tool. You get it on your phone. It pulls in all your settings. It gives you optimized lineup settings, trade advice, waiver wire pickups, and then it's up to you. You don't have to listen to SquadQL, but I'm telling you, you'll want to after you get it. Go get SquadQL now on your phones. Tyler, it's been fun, buddy, but I think we're going to wrap this one up, man.
Yeah, it's been a good week. We'll probably get more into more trade targets next week. We're at that point where you could go buy low on somebody or even buy high if you believe in what's happening.
Real quick, are you somewhere where you can see any of this Lions-Pats games going on right now?
I am not.
Kerryon Johnson is 14 yards away from being the first 100-yard rusher for the Lions in quite some time.
Holy cow, how many carries has he gotten?
12 carries for 86 yards. It's a 7.2 yard average. I was watching the first half. He looked very good. Very, very good. It is happening. And then over on the other side, not as excited, but 11 carries for Sony Michel for 32 yards. He's at least getting work. You know?
Yep. So. Kerryon is a guy that I was very high on. The Married to the Game guys were high on. Jason from the Footballers, I'm pretty sure everybody who listens to us listens to them. He is super high on. This could be a turning point. He has shown he is the best running back on that team. He is a guy that could do it all, catch, run, and he's a guy that probably makes that offense better because you don't know if it's going to be a run or pass. I mean, LeGarrette Blunson, you're running. Theo Riddickson, you're throwing.
Passing, yep.
Kerryon is the best of both worlds. He is super young. He is a guy that also, I know we're talking buy high. Mm-hmm. Even if he has the 100 yards, go buy him.
Yeah, because he's not going to be at his peak value. If he has two or three more games like this, his price will almost, I don't want to say double, but it will be much higher in 3 weeks from now. Yep. If he does this two more times than it will be tonight. So
everybody looks for that Alvin Kamara from last year. This is around the time Kamara took over a backfield. Kerryon Johnson could be that guy.
Yep, exactly. That's a great point. So the only other game we got left this week is the Steelers and the Pirate himself, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and the Buccaneers.
Fitzmagic. I don't care what Mika says. It's Fitzmagic.
Who you got in that one real quick?
Ronald Jones getting 100 yards. Dear God, Just suit him up. I'm going
the healthy
to
scratch
just
has been scary, man. That's a scary, scary thought of how bad could he possibly look. That he's
it's
a
not
scratch.
About being bad, they said, though. It's literally just what they need on the field. He doesn't play special teams. They had Barber as the starting running back. Brent Grimes, week one, was hurt, so they needed a corner, an emergency. So he was scratched. And they said he's learning pass blocking well. He's doing well in practice. And it's not the fact that he's doing anything wrong. It's situations, and they're pretty much handcuffed because they're stupid idiots. I mean, come on.
All right, I'll make my pick. I think that Tampa Bay will pull this one out. But I think that Pittsburgh will pull this out. But, man, let's go Bucks. I want the Bucks to win this. I want that story. I want the 3-0 Bucks. I want Ryan Fitzpatrick to come out in like a 1980s like Miami Vice suit with the gold chain.
Let's give him Mike Evans clothes. Like how tall Mike Evans is. Could you imagine Fitzpatrick coming out in his clothes?
Yeah, I want
OJ Howard.
I wasn't happy after the Buccaneers beat the Eagles last week, but once I saw him at the podium, I'm like, how can you be mad at this man?
I can't wait to get loving life. Can't wait to get my RotoWare shirt. Hopefully that comes in this week and they pull off a victory. I'm gonna wear that at work.
So, oh man. So anyways, this has been a fun week. I know our lives and our schedules the next couple weeks will kind of be in a little bit of a rotation of this guy will be out or that guy will be out, but we will keep pumping out the episodes. Go ahead, hit us up on patreon.com. You got the link. What is the URL?
It's patreon.com/dynastyhhpod, just like our Twitter. And you guys go out and just give a little and you get a lot. Yeah. I mean, you give $2, you guys get an extra episode from us. We're looking for 5 subscribers to Patreon before we start our listener episode or Patreon episodes.
We're getting there.
Yep. We need a couple more and then we could start up. So let's get this thing going. We want to do more talking to help you guys out. It's going to be a lot of listener questions. So honestly, we might even do a live YouTube thing where you guys are just chatting with us on YouTube and then throwing that out on the podcast app. Come on, join Patreon. You can go $2, $5, or $10. You get different percentages for the store discount. And yes, if you go $5 or $10, you guys get a discount on our store with our nice sweatshirts or t-shirts. Go out and get those as well. Man, just go out and do it, and we will help you out as much as we're helping ourselves out.
And yeah, that's going to be the great thing for the Patreons is, especially early on, the first set of Patreons when we just first start to get these episodes
going.
It's
like one-on-ones.
You're going to have more access to us than almost anybody, almost more than our wives. So sadly, mine doesn't play fantasy football. Otherwise, she would do very well, I think. So,
I mean, I know Doug would probably do anything you need. Anything.
Yeah. Doug's a real nice guy, though, you know? Doug's got that Midwest vibe living up there in Rhode Island somehow. You know, he's a giver, he's caring, you know, and he's real gentle too. I'll just tell you that. So we love you, Doug. We miss you, Doug. We love you guys. So we'll see you guys next week right here on the Dynasty Happy Hour. What a creepy way to end this show. We'll see you guys next week. Bye.
That's all the time we have for Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're looking for more fantasy football advice, be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. Doug at DaFantasyFather, Tim at DHH_Tim, Tyler at DHH_Tyler. Check out DynastyHappyHour.com for rankings, articles, ADP, shirts, and so much more. Need a question answered on the show? Hit the guys up on Twitter at DynastyHHPod, on the contact link on the site, or by email. DHH@DynastyHappyHour.com. Music is brought to you by the Fantasy Hitman, Mike Wright. We'll catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour.